Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. You want to see a European movie, but you can't stand reading subtitles? Do I got a movie for you? Three of them, actually. They're all by famous European directors and multinational casts, but the movies are in English. There's a drama about a Canadian writer who wants to forget a terrible accident. Another one about a Danish painter who moves to Paris to escape her gender. And an Italian movie set in Switzerland about some artists at a spa retreat. Everything Will Be Fine, directed by Wim Wenders. Tomas, played by James Franco, is a novelist in Quebec. He's gone ice fishing to clear his mind, but it doesn't seem to be doing him much good. He has writer's block, severe depression, and marital difficulties. And his elderly father, played by Patrick Beauchaud, is even worse. Tomas's wife, Sarah, played by Rachel McAdams, really wants to help him, but he doesn't seem to want to be helped. And then, driving home, disaster strikes. He's in a blizzard, in a pickup truck. He doesn't see two kids tobogganing down a hill right in front of his car. After the accident, he walks the older boy, Christopher, home to his mom, Kate, played by Charlotte Gainsbourg. It wasn't his fault, but it sure messes up his life, Sarah's, Kate's, even little Christopher's life. After that, he hits rock bottom and tries to commit suicide, doesn't work. And like the title says, everything does get better, gradually. His sorrows provide new material for a book he's writing. And he meets Anne, played by Marie-Josée Croze, and her daughter at his publisher. His life begins to change. And over the next dozen years or so, things improve. But what about the other people affected by the accident? Okay, this is a movie about relationships, writing, and ownership of ideas. Who does a story belong to, the author or the people it affected? It's also a drama. It's beautifully shot, small town Quebec. But is it a good movie? Does it work? Well, I gotta say, for the first half at least, Wim Wenders' movie is almost unbearably slow. Slow as molasses on a cold winter's day. Slow as sap dripping out of a maple tree. It's the kind of dialogue where you could take a break between each line, come back again, and you won't really have missed anything. There's such long pauses. But everything becomes much, much better as the movie proceeds, like the title says. And by the last 45 minutes, maybe in the last hour, it becomes honestly really interesting. Second half redeems the first half, if you can sit through it. The Danish Girl, directed by Tom Hooper. Einar Wegener, played by Eddie Redmayne, is a young, successful landscape artist 100 years ago in turn-of-the-century Copenhagen. He's married to another artist, a portrait painter named Gerda, played by Alicia Vikander from Ex Machina. Gerda is a feminist and an artist, but she can't seem to reach the fame of her husband, probably because she's a woman. One day, though, she has him pose for her with his legs together, wearing stockings and high heels, sort of a stand-in when her female model can't come. And something deep inside Einar clicks on. It's the Danish girl of the title making her first appearance. She names herself Lily Elbe. Gerda's a bit surprised by the change, but takes it in stride. But for Lily, this is earth-shattering. It means big changes. She does go out one day dressed as Lily and actually meets a man named Henrik, played by Ben Whishaw. But she's distressed to find out he's gay and doesn't desire her as a woman, but as a man. Later, Lily takes a break as Einar moves with Gerda to Paris. Einar consults doctors and psychiatrists there. He's worried he may be going crazy. Lily, though, gradually comes back to the surface in their lives. And concurrently, suddenly, Gerda is the talk of the town. Why? Because the portrait she's doing of the enigmatic, mysterious woman. Who is it? Why, it's Lily. Meanwhile, Einar is more and more sublimated, and Lily comes to the surface. Einar's childhood friend Hans shows up, played by Matthias Schoeners, and he's very sympathetic to Lily's plight and at the same time helps Gerda with their marital difficulties. But which of the two is he actually closer to? Lily suffers a lot. Attacks on the street by cruel passersby, even more terrible, the treatment she receives from cruel doctors and psychiatrists. Will she ever meet a doctor who believes in her, one that can transform her body to match her gender? The Danish Girl is a visually beautiful, highly emotional historical drama based on Lily Elba's memoirs from the 20s and 30s of one of the world's first famous transgendered women. But the movie, it just doesn't do it for me. I found it overwrought, almost melodramatic, even operatic in parts. Of course, the acting is fine. Eddie Redmayne is totally believable, both as Einar and as Lily. And okay, I get why movies like that are made with potential Oscar performances and ticket sales in mind. But seriously, with the flood of movies and TV shows being made, Transnational, Transparent, Dallas Buyers Club, Danish Girl, aren't they ever going to cast a trans actor even once in a lead role? Just wondering. Youth, directed by Paolo Sorrentino. Fred and Mick, played by Michael Caine and Harvey Keitel, are two old buddies spending some time at a luxury spa in Switzerland. They've known each other for at least 60 years and are so close that Fred's daughter, Lena, played by Rachel Weisz, is married to Mick's son. They're family now. Fred is an English composer and conductor who, even though he's retired, he still has melodies bouncing around his brain. You see him sounding them out with a candy wrapper between two fingers going click, click, click. He's being pursued by a representative of the Queen, who wants him to conduct in her presence his most famous composition, which is known simply as Simple Songs. He doesn't want to do it. Mick, at the same time, is a famous Hollywood director who's at the spa with his writers and actors hammering out another script, which will possibly be his last or at least his latest film. But he's waiting to hear from Brenda, an over-the-hill Hollywood diva, played by Jane Fonda, about whether or not she's going to appear in his movie. But they're just two other characters at the spa. At the same exclusive resort, there's a young actor, played by Paul Dano, who's rehearsing for a very unusual role in a German movie. There's an overweight Latin American soccer star. There's a mountain climber, a beautiful Italian model, even a Tibetan llama. The movie itself is a series of delightful short vignettes. It's about the two old guys assessing their whole lives, what they did, what they shouldn't have done, what they wish they had done. But it's also interspersed with all these are all the other characters in the spa, the staff, the guests, the celebrities, all together. More than that, though, it's an incredibly beautiful movie to watch and listen to. It's funny, surprising, a little bit bombastic, occasionally predictable, but above all, it's subtle. It's not an in-your-face, high-concept movie. It's just a beautiful montage that gradually comes to fruition over the course of the film. So many memorable scenes. The director, Paolo Sorrentino, is famous for his previous film, Great Beauty, but I like this one much better. It's not as plotty, not heading towards an inevitable finish. It just is. I like this movie a lot. Youth, The Danish Girl, and Everything Will Be Fine, all open today in Toronto. Check your local listings. And if subtitles don't bother you, be sure to catch a free screening of the classic Kurosawa movie, Ikiru, courtesy of the Japan Foundation at Innes Town Hall. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.